Estoril by Dejan Tiago Stankovic. Read by Luis Soto for Saga Egmont. To André, Felipe, and Lucia. The Golden Days of the Riviera. The story of mysterious wires first surfaced in the mid-80s of the last century, when the Hotel Palacio Estoril underwent complete renovation and two more floors were added to the building. They found so much cabling under the carpets, behind the skirting boards and wallpaper, that, according to the press, there was enough to circle the planet and still have some left over. No one could say who had installed it, when or for what purpose, but it was widely suspected that it had to do with redundant listening devices from the Second World War, left behind and long forgotten. The news came as no surprise to Mr. Black. He confirmed that various clandestine intelligence services had operated in these parts throughout the war, especially during the first 2 or 3 years, and that his hotel had been considered a spy's nest, though of that there was no proof because, as he put it, "we shall never know the whole truth, since the very nature of such work precludes it." Sidestepping a request to relate a favourite story from his wartime days as the manager of the Palacio, he joked, "Please, don't ask something like that of me. I'm so old that all I remember is what I've invented myself." He was not prepared to say more. It was useless to try to persuade him otherwise. Mr. Black was a hotelier of the old school, whose ethics did not allow for indiscretion, even in retirement. But it did get him thinking. If he had to pick a story from his already fading, half-gone memory of the war, he would probably tell them about that sunny afternoon when he met Gabby. Things I Invented Myself. The war had broken out in Europe the preceding autumn, but nothing much had changed in the country until late spring, when refugees started inundating Lisbon and the coast. We were caught by surprise. There were no reports in the press about anything unusual happening, but even the sliver of truth that did reach us was worrying. And not without reason. The refugee crisis, as we were later to learn, was getting worse and more complicated by the day. A state of emergency was declared, and it was not just because of the Portuguese leadership's stubborn belief that the truth was harmful, especially if it was disclosed. Mr. Black tried to perform his duties as if nothing out of the ordinary was going on. When the need arose, he would spend days calming people down, always repeating the official line. "Ladies, gentlemen, there's no cause for alarm. Just enjoy your stay here. Everything will be just fine." It wasn't difficult to believe him. Everything did indeed look just fine. In fact, Estoril was more like Biarritz or Monte Carlo than ever. With hindsight, it is interesting that no one at the time realized what was more than palpable all around us, that these were the first days of the brief but glamorous period that was to become known as the Golden Age of the Riviera. The hotel manager was so busy that day that he didn't even have time to smoke a cigarette. It was not until the late afternoon that he managed to extricate himself from his duties. He announced that he did not wish to be disturbed. Once alone in his office, he stretched out in his chair and put his feet up on the desk, like a cowboy. Even if he had been seen in that position, nobody would have blamed him. His feet were so sore that he could feel them tingle in bed at night. Also, he was an American, and Americans did not consider such behaviour particularly rude. Noteworthy items on the desk included, apart from the Palacio manager's feet, the daily newspaper and a folder containing the hotel guests' registration forms. The front page of the paper, Republica, declared, "the longest day of the year." It was true. It was already past 6 o'clock on the wall clock, but outside, the sun was still shining bright. However, there was not a word in the paper about the refugees or the widely rumoured German invasion of Portugal. He had intended to look through the hotel registration forms before handing them in to the police, but simply didn't have the energy. He closed his eyes.